This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doran Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We will get to some of your Ohtani calls coming up, but I did want to mention this John Mara stuff, and Jerry Boomer's going to play some of it. Jerry's going to play some of it coming up in just a little bit in his update, but one particular thing about Saquon Barkley. So I just tried to put myself in Saquon's shoes with this one, which is impossible. I can't. I'm not a pro athlete who has been in the situations he's been, but I tried.
Yeah, but you know all the stories. You know all the people involved. You know how this goes.
So John Mara said that he texted Saquon after he left for the Eagles and said he was sick about him leaving. And if I were Saquon Barkley and I got that text, I would be like, F you. I'm sorry, but you had you're so sick about it. You had every opportunity to sign me and commit to me. Now, John Mara said that, you know, Joe Shane essentially convinced him that was not the right investment, whatever, but his grandchildren have the Saquon Barkley jerseys. But if you're Saquon and you're like the owner of the team that you said over and over and over again, I want to retire a Giant. I want to be a Giant for life. I want to be a Giant for life. And Mr. Giant, John Mara, says I was sick about you leaving. I'm like, well, what about all these other times you could have helped out and kept me there and kept me in that uniform for life, and your grandkids could have kept those jerseys?
Did you see all the running backs that switched teams during free agency? Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is because the running back, if they stay with their original team and they sign the deals that they currently signed with somebody else, they're going to feel like they're disrespected and they're going to be unhappy. And they're basically, you know, going to be a different player for their original team than they would be for their new team. And I try to explain this from a mental standpoint, and maybe Joe Shane understands this. I think a lot of GMs do understand this, that as much as you may love Saquon Barkley and appreciate everything he's done for you, there is a number that you're willing to go to pay him. And if he accepts that number because he feels like he's undervalued and underpaid, much like Le'Veon Bell felt about the Pittsburgh Steelers many years ago and took a year off in protest because he wouldn't sign the contract, if you remember. Mm-hmm. You now have a disgruntled player in your locker room who's unhappy. He's just unhappy. And he may not outwardly show it, but maybe in week 15, you need the game, and he's just not feeling right. He's got a hip pointer, and he doesn't want to take a shot. And he doesn't want to play.
And he bet on his own unders.
Well, no, but that's
I'm kidding.
What I'm saying is that there is a mental aspect to all of this. And this is why I believe that a lot of these running backs ended up, you know, changing teams, is because of the just, like, Saquon's going to be excited to go play for the Eagles. He's going to want to prove to the Eagle fan, to the Eagle players, that he is going to be a difference maker. If he signs his contract and he stays with the Giants, you know, maybe, and just, this is human nature, he's going to feel underappreciated because the owner supposedly loves him so much, and he said that he always wanted to be a Giant for life. I mean, this is why all these running backs changed. They changed all these teams. It was like 10 running backs changed teams. Just simply because I believe that they feel like their original team or the team that they had just played for undervalues them in their mind.
Yeah, I mean, and everything you're saying is absolutely right, but it, just trying to put myself in Saquon's shoes, like if that were you, you played in the NFL, there were teams that wanted you, there were teams that didn't want you. If you were trying to stay with a particular team, wanted to get paid by that particular team, they never did it, and then the owner texted you, I'm sick about you leaving. Wouldn't you want to send back or mailed you a letter back in the day?
No, it actually did happen to me. You know, when I got traded to the Jets, Mike Brown, the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, called me and said, you know, I'm sitting here with my brother Pete, and we made a really tough decision, and we decided to send you to the Jets in a trade, and it really, we didn't want this to happen. We wanted you to stay here, and I believed him. But they had drafted a quarterback in the first round that year. Mm-hmm. And when I went to him after Sam Weish had gotten fired, they hired David Shaw, they drafted David Klingler. And I said, look, man, why don't you just let me go now? Let me try to trade me now if you can. And honestly, he told me that he didn't want to trade me. He needed me for another year. And he said that he would do his best to trade me the next year if I would just be the professional, teach the kid how to, you know, go about it. His business and how to become a professional quarterback. How'd that work out? No, not very well. But I just, you know, when I got traded, he called me and said that to me. Like, this is like one of the hardest phone calls I've ever had to make because I don't want to lose the guy that I drafted that took us to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so I believe me, I understand all these. And it was interesting because yesterday, Samini calls me.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So he's writing an article on players like me that were either a former MVP or a future Hall of Famer that have ended up late in their career with the Jets, and why did the Jets have a habit of doing this?
I wonder if he got Favre.
I'm sure he's trying to reach out to Brett Favre. I'm sure
Favre,
he's trying.
Favre, Testaverde, you, Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, he went through the whole list with me, and it's long and illustrious. Vinny's not going to be a Hall of Famer, and Vinny wasn't.
Right. Yeah, but so, he's still an older quarterback of note.
Right,
that
but
went
it's not
to the
just
Jets.
Quarterbacks, not just Ed Reed.
Law.
Ed Reed, Ty Law.
Wow.
You know, guys like, you know, there's a lot of guys like that that fit in this kind of this box.
Reed. Oh, my God.
Right. That fit in this box that so Smitty always wanted to know why. And I said, well, we all have different reasons as to why we wanted to come here. My reason for wanting to come to the Jets was because Bruce Coslett was the head coach. He was my offensive coordinator in Cincinnati that I had the most success with. And I knew his offense. And I knew that he was frustrated with what was going on. For whatever reason, I don't know the reasons why, but I knew he was frustrated with the offense, that guys weren't really catching on to his offense. So when I got here, it was like a breath of fresh air for me and for him that I could actually get through his offense in the first practice, because I knew the terminology and everything else, because that's what I grew up with in Cincinnati. So that's why I wanted to come here. But little did I know that they were going to have three coaches in 3 years. Unfortunately, a general manager, Dick Steinberg, was going to die in the middle of my tenure here, and it was going to leave a leadership vacuum at the top of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And Leon Hess was getting older and older and older and more impatient, and it was going to lead to Richie Kotite. Did I think that was going to happen 2 years
prior
to that?
No.
So what I was explaining to Rich, I said, the one thing that I always advocate on this radio station is stability for all these teams. And this is why I take my hat off to Leon Rose and what he's done with the Knicks. You know, he has taken his time. You know, they built around Julius Randle in the beginning. They made the playoffs a couple times. They made the, you know, they made the signing of Jalen Brunson a priority. And that was a free agent in his prime that was being underpaid and undervalued by the Dallas Mavericks. And then all of a sudden, they make the trade for Josh Hart. And then they pulled a big one where they traded away Emmanuel Quickley and R.J. Barrett for O.G. Anunoby and Precious Achiuwa, who's been a revelation. And, you know, that's how you do things. It takes time. And, you know, and with the Rangers, you know, they tore the team up 5 or 6 years ago. And they built it to where it is right now. And both teams have done it the right way. That's where I feel like the Jets are always chasing. They're always chasing it. No matter who's in the GM chair, no matter who's in the head coach chair, they're always chasing. They're chasing, and they're trying to bring in older players like Tyron Smith now. And you have a Mike, the wide receiver, Mike Williams, who's coming off of a knee injury. You know, those are one-year deals, and those are prove-it deals.
I mean, the biggest reason why they're doing this is they haven't drafted a quarterback that's been worth anything.
True, and plus, you got to remember, they went after Aaron Rodgers last year, which at this point in time last year, I was telling you he was still coming. He was still coming. He's coming. He's coming here. He's coming. He's going to be the Jet quarterback. And, you know, if you remember, we didn't know that he was going to be the Jet quarterback until a month from now, right before the draft. Joe Douglas kind of told us.
Yeah, he did. He absolutely
did. Live.
That is correct. All right, so people want to talk about Ohtani, some other stuff, 877-337-6666. Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network. John's out in Thailand. What's going on, John? Good morning.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm calling from Bangkok, Thailand.
Bangkok.
It's the evening, so I listen to you guys during my evening commute.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
How is it out there?
Hot, always hot.
Yeah, very hot. A lot of mosquitoes?
Not so much in the city. There are if you go to the side streets, but right. Not usually a big issue.
And you're a permanent resident out there that grew up in the tri-state area?
Yeah, I was born in Morristown, New Jersey, but I now lived here for 2 years to work. I worked in other places.
Did you have to move a family, or were you a single guy?
No, my family's here with me.
Oh, wow. Was that a tough conversation? Like, we got to go to Thailand, or were they into it?
No, because we've done this several times before, so it's kind of...
Okay.
They have an American school there that your kids go to?
Yeah. They go to...
This poor guy just wanted to talk about Shohei Ohtani.
And now we're
grilling on. Sorry, John. Sometimes I get a little off track. All right, what do you want to say about Ohtani?
Well, I was just picking up what you said earlier about the personal assistant aspect, because I had a conversation with a Japanese-American friend last year when the trade deadline for baseball was happening, and Ohtani was, you know, considered to be maybe a trading at that time. And he said, we talked about him. He says, you know, he's like really a naive guy. He has like no life experience. He's only done baseball. He's been very sheltered. He lives with his parents. He's like a kid is the way he described him to me. And as soon as this started happening, immediately that conversation came back. I don't have any proof of this, but just to put that on the table that he could be as naive as maybe it seems, or you would be believing based on what he's saying, and all these things seem unbelievable, but it could be that he just has no clue what's going on and has never bothered to deal with stuff like an adult.
Yeah, I would imagine, I can't imagine that he went to college or in that other, he didn't do any of that stuff. He was such a great baseball player and so good, was making a lot of money in Japan, obviously came here, made a lot of money with the Angels. Had the interpreter in his back pocket, probably didn't understand all the customs when he first got here. And the interpreter, I could see where the interpreter could perpetrate fraud on him. I could see that.
Yeah.
And that's, I want to believe that. I want to believe that that is the truth. But I also know that moving that kind of cash, and how many, so it's $4.5 million. How has that been paid off? We heard about two wires of $500,000 each. All right, so that's a million. Where'd the other $3.5 million come from?
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing that I could think of logically is what I brought up to that bank guy is that, okay, so now you have a bank representative that is allowed to send this money with Ohtani's permission. Mm-hmm. Ohtani's sort of aloof, whatever. Mizuhara comes in, these guys know each other, and Ohtani sends some money back home, he sends some money here, he sends some money there, and then Mizuhara's in there because he needs this, that he's weaseled his way in and calls up the bank rep and says, hey, Shohei wants 500 of this guy, 500 of that guy, and he just does it.
Weasel now, spot, and it says loan.
Yeah, weasel spot.
And it says loan.
Yeah, right, it could. So, I mean, that is plausible. But you would have to have that bank representative be doing things he shouldn't be allowed to do.
Right. Exactly. So there's other people at play here that seem to be, if I think about this, culpable and responsible for moving this money.
Let's go to Matt, who's in Florida. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, good morning, guys. What is up? Thank you for taking my call. Real quick, a quick question for you. Nobody's talked about this. Anybody ask Michael Reconosciuto what's going on with him?
Yes.
I've got a lot of information on this.
Yeah, you know what, Matt? That, and people don't know, the Octopus Murders documentary, that was a big name in there, and that was one of the craziest webs of nonsense that had ever gone on, and it seems like we're in this situation as well. Yeah, those guys are now listeners, those two documentarians. So
good.
Maybe they're listening to this and or got a new one coming in a couple of years.
Maybe those guys and Matt Hamacek can get together and go into this Ohtani thing.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, meeting of the minds.
Yes.
Mike in Poughkeepsie, what's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I don't know if anybody's brought up. I know you guys talked about the Chargers boomer. I think you said it. Ipe, or the interpreter, whatever his name is, wire fraud is a serious, serious felony in California, looking up to 20 years, just doing a quick Google search. But on top of that, there's larceny. Boomer, you just mentioned the other people that are involved. Wiring money is not easy to do. I've had to wire money, and it's, you know, kind of a hassle. But when you're talking about the charges that this guy could be facing, I think Ohtani definitely was involved. You know, that's first and foremost. But then, you know, he kind of backtracked on, I loaned the money. California, sports gambling is illegal. So right away, you know, they're looking at charges of some sort. And then they start saying, oh, he stole money from me. Well, now he stole money from a financial institution, so they could press charges, which we'll see what happens with that. But when you start looking at the charges, there's so many: computer crimes, larceny, wire fraud, identity theft. All these charges could pile up. This guy, he could be doing some serious time.
And that's what I was trying to say before, Mike, about I don't think that Shohei Ohtani is a guy that could say, I don't want to press charges on him with all of the things that this guy could be guilty of. Right? I mean, these are federal crimes. I don't think you could, Shohei Ohtani could be like, leave him alone. No way. If there's proof of this, he's going to get charged.
I would think that there are multiple people that would get charged.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, unless he had total unfettered access to certain accounts that had this kind of money in there. And like I keep hearing $1 million, 500,000 wire here, 500,000 wire there. What about the other $3.5 million? How was that sent? Was that wired as well? And believe you me, I mean, they got to go through this. I mean, Major League Baseball's got to go through this because they have to worry about the integrity of the sport, and it's going to be an in-depth investigation, I would think. And I would also think that either the FBI, the IRS has got to look into this. There's gift taxing. There's all sorts of things. They're saying this is a loan. Was there a loan document between Ipe and Shohei? It doesn't sound like there was.
Ipe and Shohei. Yes. That is the 30 for 30. Right
Ipe
there.
Ipe and Shohei.
You just nailed the
Shohei
title.
Shohei and Ipe. What's call Hamacek, ask him what it sounds best. Ipe and Shohei or Shohei and Ipe?
And Hamacek, of course, the guy who did the Patriots Dynasty documentary
that
we had in
that
here.
Everybody's pissed off about.
Don in Milford. Good morning, Don.
Guys?
Yeah,
Donnie, what's happening, man?
I got a random question for G. I just want to know why your Evan impersonation doesn't sound like Evan, and all your other impersonations are dead ringers. Joe sounds like Joe. Mike sounds like Mike. Joey Gallo sounds like Joey Gallo. But Evan, your Evan sounds like a combination of Wayne Randazzo and Chris Russo. And I just want to know, like...
Yeah, all right. It's an interesting question.
Very big question. But I've been sitting next to you for a long time now.
Yeah.
Since January of 2018. And I love your Evan impression because it encapsulates so much of Evan.
Well, okay. This is my answer to that. Evan... Just recreating Evan's voice and Evan is not interesting or funny, really. Like Joe Beningo, his voice is jumps out. Francesa, the way he kind of mumbles, Chris Russo, his voice. With Evan, if I were just doing Evan's voice and doing that, it's just not, it's like we'd be trying to do your voice. Like it's just, there's nothing, you just have a voice. You've got a man's voice. You don't have something that's just like jumps out at you. So with Evan, when he gets that high pitch thing, for me to be able to make something funny out of it, I go into that, and I think it's more like Terrence and Phillip, if you know South Park. That's where it's from, which I used for someone else, actually, in Pittsburgh, who was very similar. Like, he'd get worked up, and his voice would be, like, I don't know what to do. Anybody see my saltines? Like, he would just, yes. So I used to use that.
Yes.
So, like, with Evan, when he's going, I like baseball, you like baseball. If I just did Evan's voice, you wouldn't be laughing. There would be nothing funny about it. So if you exaggerate that one, then it's funnier. Like
you do
Eddie's.
It with Eddie, yes.
Yeah, I totally exaggerate Eddie. So
yes.
there's different... different voices for different people.
And it's very funny when you do it because I don't know where the ideas come from in your warped brain.
Yeah.
That warped is right. Like you just said about saltines. I'm sure that has something to do with I mean, I don't know where you come up with these things.
Yeah.
And they come up very randomly. This is not things that are written down.
No.
You never know when you're going to do them.
Yeah.
And you usually wait until something happens that jogs your memory about something that has happened around here.
Yeah, another example, Adam Schein. Adam Schein's voice is just funny. Like, when you listen to Adam Schein, it's funny. So recreating that voice and just changing the content is funny. For Evan and Eddie, changing the voice makes it funny. So
how about Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, well, that's just that. Yeah, that voice is similar, but then making those words and different situations, that's another one.
And you capture, like, whatever my essence is, you captured perfectly. It might be not totally correct,
no, but it's the essence of Eddie.
Yeah, it's the essence
and
of Eddie.
And it started with me screening calls during the pandemic.
Hello. Hello. Hey, by the way,
you're 95 and you can't hear? Perfect. Hold on for the boys.
Exactly. That's where it started. Yeah.
All right. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah! All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry back. He's got some stuff for us. What's up, Jerry?
We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door, and brought to you by Monmouth University. Bigger thinking, more inspired, you amplified. I'll run through the Knicks first because then it's going to lead into more gambling stuff, which will lead us into Shohei Ohtani gambling stuff, and then some football stuff. So a lot of stuff, as you say.
Stuff, Jerry. I love it when you got stuff.
First with the Knicks, who got out to a monster lead in the first quarter, wound up beating the Pistons. All right, 124-99 the final, but along the way.
Here's a three. Bang! There it is, number 11. Dante DiVincenzo, a new Knick record for most threes in a game.
Yeah, he went 11 of 20 from three-point range. That was Mike Breen on MSG. He had a career-high 40 in this blowout win over Detroit. Jalen Brunson, 28 himself, and a triple-double for Josh Hart. Here was DiVincenzo on MSG. Oh, what a night is, was one sung.
It's fun. I mean, doing it in front of the best fans in the world, it doesn't get any better than this.
The Frankie Valli. Oh, what a night.
That, I mean,
you know, if you go to a traditional wedding, back in that's like one of the songs that they play in the early portion when the old people would get up and dance.
Sure, yeah.
Like, and
old
also,
people would get up and dance?
Yeah, like that's what they do. So these DJs, you talk to any wedding DJ. So like before the meal is served, you got the older people that are there that might want to get up and move around. And then, you know, so they'll play that. The Earth, Wind, and Fire song.
Yes.
September. The one they'll play.
Okay.
Shout,
yes.
A little Stay Alive.
Us older people love Shout. Yeah, we love Shout.
And then as the night.
A little Staying Alive, a little Barry White.
What was that? I missed that. But what was that drop?
Eddie was trying to get something in there, and it was a commercial running over.
What was that? And then as the night goes on, you know, he starts pumping in the other stuff.
Drinks are flowing.
Yeah, right.
The ass cheeks start hanging out.
Right. You know, the lights go down. And then, so, yeah. But, like, that's, oh, what a night. You know, then, all right. Come on, grandma, let's get up.
Come on, grandpa.
He still does this song.
Wait, time out. I am a grandpa.
Well, yeah. So now you fit that category. Oh, what a night. You know?
Yeah.
Come on, Boompa, let's get up here before you fall asleep.
Yeah.
You're not falling asleep, are you?
Before you pass out.
Yeah, there's certain songs that just bring me, because thank God I'm out of it now. I know it'll happen again in my life, but like when you are in your late 20s.
In wedding hell.
It is just wedding after wedding after wedding after wedding. And that those songs just like boom put me right there, and that's one of them. And then the Earth, Wind, and Fire one. Yeah. That's actually another big one. Shout! I'm trying to think. There's a couple.
You do the Macarena?
Yeah,
I feel like that's kind of gone away. Actually,
yeah, Macarena.
Yeah, not that I've been to many weddings, but last summer we were at one that was not played.
Oh,
I don't remember that being played.
Yeah,
that's a bad job.
I don't.
I don't know about that.
You know, like Hall and Oates.
Moni Moni, still a big one.
This September.
So I'm talking about.
All right, and now let's get on our feet to welcome Mr. and Mrs. for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Schmutzface. The Schmutzfaces.
Do you remember?
Yes,
absolutely. All right, everybody get up. Dinner will be served in 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
I'm an ass.
Oh, man.
You're right. All these are very common.
Yeah,
and they're still doing the Moni Moni.
Still. Moni Moni.
That's still a big thing.
Moni. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you back into like the second phase of weddings now? Well, not quite yet, right? Because
no, my kids aren't getting married. Their friends aren't getting married yet. No.
I didn't know if you had like nephews or things like that that were starting to go on.
Yeah, I mean, we have had weddings to go to, but it's not like it's been often like it was. Weddings, kids, then funerals. That's kind of where we're at.
Or friends on to their second marriages.
I don't really. I have friends divorced. I don't have many friends that have gotten married a second time yet.
I've not gone to a second wedding yet.
No, neither have I, nor do I plan to. Because it means I got burned the first time.
Yeah, it's true. I'm trying to think. Yeah, no.
You couldn't have spent that much money on gifts.
What's that?
What does that mean? I mean, like, that's what you're saying. You got burned the first time.
Yeah.
You gave a gift, or you gave an envelope of cash.
A cash gift, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how much would you give?
I think now it's between $350 and $500.
Wow.
Yeah, that's. Yes.
How about if it's a destination wedding?
Depends on where. Oh. You still give a gift. I only went to one. We went to Cancun. We still gave a gift. Right. That wasn't a freebie just because we spent the money to go. I love the destination wedding.
You give a soda stream. Everybody loves a soda stream.
No one wants a soda stream.
Yeah, they do.
Not for a wedding gift.
Everybody
it's a great Christmas gift. For a wedding gift? What do you live in, California?
I'd give a soda stream.
For a wedding gift?
Yeah, sure.
No.
You imagine someone invites Boomer to a wedding thinking they're going to get a big envelope and they get a soda stream?
Yeah, Fliegelman did. It actually happened.
But he didn't go to the wedding.
Yeah.
No.
And then 2 months later, hi, I'm Boomer Esiason for Soda Stream.
I say this every time, but my favorite Boomer gift story is when Bob Dwyer gave Boomer something, and then Boomer gave it back to Bob Dwyer, not remembering that Bob gave it to him, and said, here you go. Re-gifted it to the guy that gave it to him.
Oh, God.
That's one of my favorites
that
ever.
That is funny.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Really enjoyed the gift, did you?
Yeah.
By the way, see that blue truck over there?
Yeah.
That was back in the fall of 2017 when Boomer said, if we do okay until you come in, I'll get you a Raptor. Yeah. And then Boomer brought me a Raptor.
Well, this is the last time, the last guy I gave a Raptor to, guess what he did? He sold it.
No, I understand. I'm just saying.
I'm not giving any more cars or trucks or any of that stuff to you guys.
I don't blame you.
I'm giving you guys stuff that I know that you will use, right. And
well,
you will
gotta
not
stop
give it
saying
away.
It, then.
Because you did that twice now. Two guys in here don't have a truck. Guess which two?
Two guys had a great free trip to Las Vegas, though.
Oh, man.
I'm complaining.
No, we're just
having fun.
That's all.
All right. Okay.
I mean, you did say these things. We didn't say them. You did.
I gave him a truck.
I did get a truck.
Yes, he did.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I did to you what I did to Darnay Scott way back when.
Yeah, I know you did.
Darnay
You had the playbook for it.
Yeah, well, yeah, poor Darnay comes in the huddle after sitting on the sideline the whole game on 3rd and 19, and I think his mind's out of the game, and I tell him, look, man, if I throw you the ball, you got to catch this ball. And, you know, if you catch it, I'll give you your Mercedes. And in the huddle, he said to everybody in the huddle, he says he's going to give me a Mercedes if he throws it and I catch it.
Yeah.
Just like that. And, you know, Darnay was a very interesting. I love Darnay. I love playing with him. He was a very interesting cat. He's from East St. Louis. Very funny. And he had like gold teeth. Okay. So I throw this ball and it's behind him. And it's like 22 yards down the field, and he makes maybe the greatest catch of his career. Like, one hand,
yeah.
Or first down. And he gets up, and I can see him down the field because his teeth are like, the lights are shining off his teeth, and he's smiling. He's like, you owe me an MF and Mercedes. He's pointing at me.
That's awesome.
So the next day, I went to Toys R Us and I got him one of those little Mercedes cars and I ran it into his locker when we were all sitting in there. And I said, Darnay, I want, because he got in a little bit of trouble. I said, I want you to know, I love you to death and I'm so glad that you're reengaged.
Oh, okay.
So
good.
He wasn't
pissed off that he got a toy Mercedes.
No. As a matter of fact, he got a new contract after that year and he wrote a $50,000 check to my foundation.
Oh, look at
that. That's great.
That is awesome.
See, that's the end of the story right there.
Oh.
Great guy, great teammate, just needed a little bit of love, and motivation.
And a new contract.
Had a new contract, and he got it.
All right, so let's get into Ohtani here through the translator yesterday as he spoke to the media. Kind of can't believe what's going on is going on.
It's been a tough week for fans and team officials, and I'm very grateful that the media has been patient in this process. Just on a personal note, I'm very saddened and shocked that someone who I'm trusted has done this.
And that guy, of course, is friend or former friend and interpreter.
Ipe told to the media and to my representatives that I, you know, on behalf of a friend, paid off debt. Upon further questioning, it was revealed that it was actually, in fact, Ipe who was in debt and told my representatives that I was paying off those debts.
I have one question here. Was $4.5 million wired, or was it $500,000 and he claimed that he was going to send the rest?
As I understand it, there were two wire transfers for $500,000.
So that means this kid's still on the hook for $3.5 million to the bookie.
I want to know what happened to the other $3.5 million. That's
was it sent or not?
Was it already sent? Was right. It already, that's what my question
or
was.
Or does
was
he still already have that crazy illegal debt?
The number out there is $4.5 million was transferred.
Mm.
That's how I keep reading it, but I don't know if that's accurate or not. I know of two $500,000 wire transfers that right. have been reported on.
Here he is, again through the translator, figuring out all of this as he was basically saying, my bad to the Dodgers.
So during the team meeting, obviously, Ipe was speaking in English, and I didn't have a translator on my side. But even with that, I kind of understood what was going on and started to feel that there was something amiss. Just prior to the meeting, I was told by Ipe, hey, let's talk one-to-one in the hotel after the meeting. So I waited until then.
He apologized to the organization before he told Ohtani what was going on? What?
Yeah, strange.
None of it makes any sense.
Yeah, who knows? And all of the headlines and all of the stories say $4.5 million theft.
Right.
So like, that money is gone then. So, like, not like, I don't think he owes the money still. But then again, I mean,
But how long has this been going on? Like, did he send 10,000 here, 20,000 there, 300 grand there? And it wasn't until the $500,000 wires got that ESPN or the LA Times got to the bottom of this?
Yeah, and I want to know who tipped them off to that. Like, what is their source in this whole thing?
Well, it's probably the bookie or somebody that is attached to the bookie in some
that
way.
Wants their money.
But if you're, well,
oh, then
so you're telling
got
me
it already.
It could be more than $4.5 million. Maybe he owes $10 million.
Maybe. And that's all we know about.
Yeah. It's nuts. All right. All right. You got anything else, Jerry? Or
stuff? I don't have to. I mean, I got football stuff I can do next full football next hour.
We'll
if you
do
want.
Full football next
all right.
hour.
All right. It.
Yep. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. This is just something I feel like we had to mention today because the video is out there and it is shocking, is what happened down in Baltimore with that cargo ship with the, as they call it down there, the Key Bridge, which is a bridge you've been on probably, I would imagine, hundreds of times, yes, if not thousands of times.
Yes.
And what's going on down there right now is shocking. I have not seen much of an update on recovery. I'm sure most people have seen it by now, as a giant cargo ship, almost a 900-foot cargo ship, slams right in to the support beams of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and a large portion of this very long, mile-long bridge collapses. Now, there were some construction workers on there, unknown amount of cars that were on there. Also, the cargo ship sunk. So you don't know how many people were on there that were able to get off. So I know recovery efforts are happening now, but this is a place that, that you know well.
Yes. I would say this. The enormity of this disaster will not really be understood until a couple of days, because you don't realize just how busy that bridge is. And there were cars in that bridge that ended up in the Tabasco River, which is the basically the mouth of the port of Baltimore, which is one of the most important ports and busiest ports in our on the eastern seaboard, if not the most busy. And this is the amount of people that are going to end up dying because of this, because it happened overnight. You know, I woke up this morning, and I usually wake up to 10-10 or 8-80 winds. I could not believe that I heard this, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so maybe the bridge, part of the bridge would be standing or something. And then I watched the video of it, and it just totally collapses. I mean, it goes right down. And with that ship sunk, I don't know how many people were on that ship. I don't know how many cars were on the bridge when it went down, and those cars went into the river. And now the entire bridge, or at least that big part of that bridge, is sitting there at the bottom of that river with the tank, with the container ship. I mean, the catastrophe of this magnitude for that particular port is going to be enormous. And it is going to be, it will be realized when the sun rises and people really start to see it and look at it and understand the effect that it's going to have. So we always say this, hearts and prayers and all that other stuff, but the reality is that this is going to be a significant, significant catastrophe.
Yeah, so CBS News, there's a quote out there saying that they're calling this a mass casualty event, but there still is a search and rescue mission going on. Two people have been rescued from the water after the bridge collapsed as of now, so hopefully that number of people rescued increases. And something that, I mean, you don't necessarily think of, because we're not in the water in March, is the fact that it's freezing and hypothermia can set in very, very quickly if you're in that water too long. Now, I guess I had heard reports that the ship had sunk. I don't believe it has, because I still see at least this
They're
video
saying it's
now.
It's sinking, at least.
It is sinking, so it has not sunk. So it is
totally. But right. I wake up this morning, and you know, I got the news on, and I don't know how the news people do it. I really don't. They report on this particular story. And this story is significant for so many different levels. It's just, it's hard to even fathom, what is going on down there right now and the panic that is setting in and just the people that were on that bridge, just awful, absolutely awful. And then you wake up and you find out that another NYPD cop is killed in the line of duty. And this is Jonathan Diller, a 31-year-old who leaves a 1-year-old behind, and he's from Massapequa Park.
Yeah, Massapequa Park, yeah.
And, you know, and then you find out there's two stabbings on the subway. Then you find out that somebody was pushed in front of a train in the subway. And I look back and I said, you know, when was it that the governor and the mayor said that they were going to protect the subways? And I go all the way back to October 22nd, 2022, when they were going to flood the subways with police. And then it was about 2 weeks ago that the governor decided, okay, we're going to send the National Guard down there. And now Mayor Adams is basically saying that, oh, we're going to now redeploy 800 more police officers down in the subway. And I'm like, what are people thinking? You know, these policies that the governor, the mayor, the city council, and the state legislature all have in place are basically ruining the city.
And this Jonathan Diller story is as heartbreaking,
it's horrendous
as it gets. And the guy was on the job just for a couple of years, starting his family, wants to protect the city, do the right thing. And, of course, the person that shot him had been arrested on gun charges a year ago.
I thought we had, like, the toughest gun laws in America.
Yeah, apparently not anymore. So that's just an absolute tragedy. So not to bring everybody down, I did feel like that was a huge news story that's going on in Baltimore. And, of course, there's a lot of crap going on here, as always, unfortunately. But, yeah, the Baltimore, the scene and that video it's surreal. Watching that bridge collapse and that ship going right into the support beam. I mean, and the ship is still afloat right now, but the real concern is getting as many survivors out of the water as possible.
If they can, they got to get that ship out of the way. I mean, the long-term effects of this, both psychologically for the people that are involved and the families that are involved, I mean, thankfully, they had divers in the water within an hour looking for people.
Yeah. I mean, at 1:30 in the morning.
Imagine you're one of those divers.
Yeah.
And you're down there trying to find people and find their cars and trucks and whatever else. I don't know. I don't know what the hell this world's coming to, really, honestly. I know I sound like an old man. But
yeah.
But you made me feel old earlier.
I'm sorry, with the whole wedding thing.
Yes.
Grandpa falling asleep. I mean, come on. No, we all know, because I've seen you at weddings, recent weddings, that you're out there to the end with your bottle of Casamigos Reposado in hand.
Ripping it up.
Yeah, tearing it up till the music stops. You actually tell the band to keep going. That's how into it.
Give him an extra 10 grand. Let him go.
All right, another Ohtani call before we take a quick break, and that's Mike in Brooklyn. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Mike. What's up today?
Nothing much. First off, I wanted to mention that Tiki yesterday, you know, with Evan mentioned about the situation, you know, where everyone, I believe he said he and other athletes had people that would take care of, you know, his
financial dealings. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't have a problem. It's just we really don't know exactly what happens, because I think Billy Joel also went through this, what, three times with people stealing money from him, but I believe he never pressed charges. I think he just sued, so I guess it's up to Ohtani what he wants
to do. It's really, you know, it's funny. Gio just heard me having a conversation with a friend of ours who's, you know, pretty smart in the business world and just generally all around great guy, understanding different difficulties when it comes to finances and things of that nature. And he's talking to me, he goes, this may be up to the DAs in L.A. I don't know if it's the guy Gascon or something. I don't know. In L.A.
Gaston from Beauty and the Beast?
No, Gascon.
Oh, okay.
Whether he's in L.A. or San Francisco. And let's say, you know, and our friend was telling me that, let's say it's Wells Fargo that's doing the wire transferring.
Yeah.
Most likely the wire would be coming out of San Francisco, because I guess that's how Wells Fargo does their wiring, just to give you a sense of how these institutions work. So maybe the DA in San Francisco would have to get involved, and MLB would have to get involved with the DA in LA and maybe San Francisco to look at bank records and things of that nature to make sure that the integrity of the game is basically secure, and that Shohei Ohtani is not lying about what he is saying when it comes to Ippe Musahara, his interpreter. So there's so many levels to this. It's just it's mind-boggling. And just because a guy gives a statement yesterday, which I do believe that there is some truth to, that doesn't answer all the questions that need to be asked.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.